Jesus is dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, we remind ourselves that at this moment, Jesus is dead. He has begun a descent into a place filled with hate and torture to break that bond. Tonight, Father, let us remind ourselves that the gift of heaven did not come free. It had to be paid for. It had to be bought. And Jesus had to sacrifice. Tonight, Father, quiet our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts, and allow us to dwell in the words of the Scripture and hear them as they come alive. And be in those eyes of Jesus Christ, which you would have us be. I pray, Father, our time together will be strong, full, and with measure. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we dwell on those eyes. Tonight, all of our senses has been taken away so that all that we may see is what is before us. The cross, the pain, the misery. We forget sometimes what had to happen. And sometimes we forget who Jesus Christ was. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 8th chapter, Jesus was on his way. The crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone has touched me, and the power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she touched him, and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." We see Jesus Christ in these moments as the healer. We see Jesus Christ in these moments as the one who looks at us as what we are to him, precious and lost. We see Jesus Christ in this moment looking down with her, at her with compassion, with eyes that do not judge, with heart that is full. And he lifts her up. For a moment, I want you to be in peace and quiet and see that scene as Jesus looked into her eyes and she into his. Again in Luke, chapter 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, They were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to praise God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." We start to see a picture of a man walking toward the cross, refusing to let his mercy and grace be daunted. Knowing this day is coming, knowing this moment is coming, Jesus Christ moves forward. He knows what is about to happen. And yet he does not stop. Put yourself in the place for the moment. I have explained to you what leprosy was. Leprosy was a disease that was instantly contagious. You were forced to live a life of absolute solidarity with other lepers, alone, ostracized from society and cut off from the world. You were not allowed to farm. You were not allowed to raise crops. You were not allowed to buy. You were not allowed to sell. You lived on what was given to you. And they heard the words, but only one saw those eyes. The eyes that would put forth pain. The eyes that would put forth mercy. The eyes that would put forth love. The eyes that would show us salvation. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." In these moments, we see Jesus Christ staring yet again into the eyes of a child he loves, of a brother he loves, of a creation he knows his Father put forth, and a creation that had failed, and he gave him mercy and grace, and he touched him, and away went the leprosy. And this man did not realize that the eyes he was staring into would pay that sacrifice. Take time for a moment to dwell within those eyes. Jesus Christ wept. He cried because of the pain he knew his children suffered. He cried because he knew of the pain that they would not be able to take away from themselves. He cried because he knew of the pain that was surrounding them, that was simply to be washed away had they only believed to start with. Again, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus Christ, as he approaches Jerusalem for the last time, realizes this is the moment. Can you think of the pain that caused such a perfect pair of eyes to well up and tear up and begin to sob and lose it? Can you imagine for a moment what must have been carrying through this man, this Jesus Christ? He wept. Those eyes so perfect, so round, so full of life, so ready to forgive, so ready to reach out to you, cried because those same eyes were seeing. But still no one completely believed. Those same eyes would plead and beg in days yet to come. Jesus Christ is now in Jerusalem. And on Thursday, from the Gospel of John 13, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you'll never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, although not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that is why he said, "Everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I often think about these moments. I often think about what it was like at that moment. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Savior of all, the greatest that will ever walk this earth, knelt down. And the time began to draw away. Jesus Christ was preparing himself to die. And those closest to him did not know what was coming. They only knew that their king had washed their feet. They only knew that their Savior, their Master, their teacher had humbled Himself. And as He came to each and every one of them, kneeling down, He would look up, and eyes upon eyes would look into those eyes. From the scripture of Matthew 26, then Jesus said, "This very night you will fall away on account of me. As it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples into a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Go here while I go over here and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of sorrow, to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away and prayed a third time, praying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here come my betrayers." John 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. Flogged. Beaten. With whips and chains until the flesh left him. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again saying, "Hail, King of Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law. And according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." And when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And again, he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have the power to free you to crucify you. And Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement. It was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about to begin. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. Matthew 26. Now Peter was out in the courtyard, and a servant girl said to him, you also were with the Jews of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before all. I do not even know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out into the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again and said, I don't know the man. And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely, you are one of those. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. As Jesus watched him, knowing through those eyes.
And from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when some of those there standing heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up the spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of their tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. And when the centurion and those who were there with him, who were guarding, saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he is the Son of God. Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
Thank you.
I speak to my brothers and sisters tonight about those eyes. Those eyes which brought Jesus Christ to life. Those eyes to which He looked into. And those eyes that killed Him. To remind ourselves of the horror that He experienced tonight. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. Brothers and sisters, you have looked into the eyes of those who have sinned, those who have betrayed, and you've also seen the eyes of those who Jesus Christ died tonight for. For tonight, Jesus is dead, but it's only Friday.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betrayed. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspired. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denied, but they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scars. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sundays come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking the Calvary. His blood. His body stumbling and his spirit burning. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheme has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross. Feeling forsaken by his Father. Left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered.
It's Friday. Jesus is dead. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a cop.
It's only Friday. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we were uncomfortable tonight. Thank you. Perhaps the room was uncomfortable. Perhaps it was too hot, or we sat too long, or we were made to face our own personal sins. Thank you for letting us see those eyes. Go with us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.